We're turning to these opening verses in John's Gospel this morning, where the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed to us as the Word who was in the beginning, the Word who was with God, and the Word who was God. And John is saying that God is speaking to the world in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. God speaks to you this morning through his Son, Jesus Christ. In the past, in different ways and in different times, God spoke by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken and he speaks to us this morning by his Son, Jesus, the Word. He's the divine Word, he's the creative Word, he's the illuminating Word. But what we're going to look at this morning in verses 4 to 13 is where the picture changes to the idea of light. That Jesus Christ is the light of the world. In verses 4 and 5, that in Jesus Christ the Word was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now the first thing that strikes us about the light is really very simple. John tells us that in Jesus was life. That Jesus is the source and origin of life. Life resides in him as the fountain from which all life proceeds. As the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. John 5:26. So Jesus Christ, the Word, the Son of God, has life in himself and created and originated life. But then you see that John tells us the life that is in Jesus Christ is a life we badly need ourselves. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. If I plant anything in our back garden, it dies. When it dies, I tell Wendy, it died because there's not enough light in our back garden. There's lots of trees there. There's not enough light. That's why what I planted dies. You need light for biological life. Now, that sounds like a very plausible explanation. The only problem with it is that whenever Wendy plants something in our back garden, it grows like crazy. So there's something happening there. But whatever's happening in our garden, certainly John is saying for supernatural life, we need divine light. In Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men. If you're going to have life this morning, real, abundant, eternal life, the Bible tells you it is found only in Jesus Christ. John tells us we need his light to shine in us because naturally, we are in the darkness. The light shines in the darkness. That's our natural condition. Apart from Jesus Christ, there is a darkness so total it cuts us off from the light of life. So ours is the darkness of spiritual death. So here's the good news about the mission of Jesus Christ, John says. Jesus' mission in coming into this world is to penetrate the darkness, to shine in the darkness with light. And with life-giving light. That's why he was born. That's the reason for the angelic announcement and the shepherd's worship and the wise men's visit. Light has begun to shine in our darkness. But look how the darkness is characterized in our text. And the light shines in the darkness, verse 5. And the darkness did not comprehend it. So John is telling us this morning, our problem is not primarily intellectual. That's what we often mean when we say we're in the dark about something. We don't have all the facts. We don't know the details. We're ignorant. We're in the dark. But that's not what John means here when he talks about spiritual darkness. It's not that we need more data. If only we understood better the facts about Jesus Christ, everything would be sorted. No, says John, the darkness is constituted primarily not so much by intellectual ignorance, but by hostility. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. If you've got a slightly different version of the Bible with you this morning, your translation may be slightly different. you may be reading a version that says something like this: the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There's a parallel section in John chapter 12, verse 35, which I think settles for us what John means exactly. John 12, 35, Jesus said to them, "A little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going." That's what the darkness is trying to do then. Overtake the light, consume the light, control and dominate and obliterate the light. John's point then is that in our darkness we are opposed to God. We're at enmity against God by nature. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Friendship with the world is enmity against God. That's John's point. Naturally, there is a hostility. We're in the darkness. And understood against that backdrop, then, the message of the coming of Jesus Christ is great news. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. Verse 9. John says, Jesus Christ, the Word, has come. Unstoppable light. The light that none of the darkness of sin can put out. Omnipotent light. Life-giving light. Born of the Virgin. Adored by angels. Hunted by Herod. Baptized by John the Baptist. But would one day stand in the temple in Jerusalem and say, Jesus announcing, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Now that's great comfort to us this morning. We might feel sometimes we're living in a sin-darkened world. We hear in London news about a fanatical terrorist, of murders, knife crime, drug traffickers, different parts of the world, persecutors of the church. But John says, darkness can never overcome the light. It may seem at times that there is a hatred of the light which is overwhelming. It's a blind, mad hatred that echoes from deep inside the satanic center of the Prince of Darkness. But John tells us that great darkness cannot, it is impossible for the darkness to overcome the light. So John says to you this morning, listen, there are no shadows, however dark, no black holes of moral failure in your life, so impenetrable that the Lord Jesus Christ cannot triumph there as the light. The light overcomes the darkness. So come to the light of Jesus Christ. Trust in the light of the world, Jesus Christ. Believe upon Jesus Christ, the light of the world, and he'll chase the darkness away. He is the light. Have you seen the light? The second thing that John says here, verses 6 to 8, the witness. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now you understand, this is not John the writer of the gospel. This is John the Baptist. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, John the Baptist. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. What was John the Baptist's job? He was a witness, the Apostle John says. Verse 15, John the Baptist, bore witness of Jesus the Word. That's what John the Baptist came to do. And if you trace the language of witness in the New Testament, you see two very interesting facts. First, that the idea of a witness is found primarily in the writings of the Apostle John. John loves this language of bearing witness. The second thing you see as you trace it in the New Testament, that those who bear witness to Jesus are the agents of revelation. So in John 5, verses 30 to 47, John links John the Baptist as a witness with the witness of three others. John says that Jesus' works also bear witness. John 5:36, Jesus said, "But I have a greater witness than John's. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me." There's that language of witness again. The miracles of Jesus, healing the sick, stilling the storm, feeding the thousands with just a few loaves and fish, raising the dead, bear witness to who he is. Secondly, he says that God the Father bears witness. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. When John records Jesus' baptism in the River Jordan, there was a voice from heaven. "This is my beloved Son." On the Mount of Transfiguration, there was a voice from heaven, God the Father speaking, "This is my beloved Son." God the Father bore witness to who Jesus was. So the works that Jesus does, the witness of the Father, and then the Old Testament scriptures, they bear witness. John 5:39, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." So the witness of Christ's miracles, the witness of God the Father, the witness of the Old Testament scriptures, authoritative witness to who Jesus is, his person, his identity, his work. Now that idea is carried on through the Gospels, into the book of Acts and into the epistles. Acts 1 verse 8, Jesus said, "You shall be witnesses." There it is again. "Witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." And that commission still binds the church. We are not now eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ. We haven't seen him with our physical eyes. But we fulfill the commission, though we haven't seen Jesus ourselves physically. But we repeat the witness of the apostles, recorded for us and preserved in Holy Scripture. We repeat and we proclaim the content of apostolic witness. We mine their message from the rich deposit of the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God. So if you want to know who Jesus is, you must turn to God's book, the Bible. That's where the witness has been preserved and recorded. Where do you get the light from, that light of life that shines into darkness? John says, you go to God's book. You go to the Bible. You don't go to the BBC. You don't go to the internet. You don't go to unbelieving skeptics. Open the Bible. Get into the Bible. The Lord Jesus Christ shines from every page of the Bible. Some of you know that I've mentioned of starting up a Bible study again in the new year for those who are interested to understand the foundations of the Christian faith. Perhaps we'll be able to do that from John's Gospel. Why is that important? If you want to come, have a word with me, and I'm trying to find a time when everybody who has expressed an interest in coming can all come together at the same time. That would be the best if it can work out. If it can't, well, we'll find some other way of doing it. But why study the Bible? Well, because from the Bible, you get the witness of who Jesus Christ is. What does it mean to be a Christian? Now, that's important because there are some very strange and even some very dangerous beliefs out there. You go to one of the thousands of bookshops or the internet. You have all sorts of people claiming to be the light. It's been rightly said of our dark world that when people abandon belief in the God of the Bible, it's not that they believe in nothing. They believe in anything. So our society is full of people who say they have found the light from all sorts of sources. Someone was asking me on Thursday night, from the idea that baptism saves you, to the belief that aliens have invaded the world and infected our brains. And that's Scientology. Yeah. And sometimes Satan works very hard closest to the light. But the satanic deception always involves a refusal to acknowledge the ultimate authority of the Word of God. So notice this balance that John brings about being a witness. Verse 8, John the Baptist was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. John the Baptist is not the focus, John the Apostle says. Jesus is the focus. John the Baptist, the witness, isn't the focus of attention. He's the one who bears testimony as a witness to Jesus. Jesus is the object of our attention. So the inspired word of God is vital. Get into the Bible. Devote yourself to reading the Bible. But as you do, remember that it's even possible, like the Pharisees in John 5, who searched the scriptures diligently because they thought that in them they found life. You can have the scriptures even and still miss the central focus of the scriptures. Who is the central focus of the Bible? Jesus. So don't miss the one to whom the Bible bears testimony, John the Baptist is saying. John the Apostle is saying. We love the word of God, but we love it because it brings us to Jesus, who is the light of the world. So let me tell you about Bill Armstrong. Bill Armstrong was a mover and shaker in the American Senate for 12 years. But how did he demonstrate true greatness? Well, I would say to you, not so much in the halls of power, but in his witness. His witness, for example, in a hospital ward where he visited his friend, Jack Swigert, who lay dying of cancer. Jack Swigert was the man who had piloted the ill-fated Apollo 13. And Bill goes to the hospital ward. This man who actually politically was on the other side of the political divide. But he goes to his friend. Jack, God loves you. I love you. You have many friends who are praying for you. And the only response was this man's uneven breathing. So Bill pulled his chair up closer to the hospital bed, opened the Bible, and began reading Psalms that pointed to Jesus. And as he was reading, eventually, Psalm 150, this uneven breath of his friend stopped. And Bill called for help, the nurse came, but Bill knew his friend had died. And some of Bill's colleagues said, visits like that, bearing witness, were just a waste of time. Why bother doing that? Get on with running the government. Get on with your career. Get on with shaping the nation. But Bill knew. He had responsibilities, yes, but he was also to be a witness. And this is what mattered to him, holding his friend's hand, who was dying, and witnessing to him about Jesus, the light of the world. We have an opportunity, don't we, over these weeks, perhaps leading up to Christmas time, to be a witness. The light, the witness. Thirdly, verses 9 to 11, the world. This was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He, Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Now, there's something troubling about those verses, isn't there? How can it be, we ask? How can it be? Jesus made the world. Every creature, every heart that beats, every person who draws breath with the work of his hands. Yet when he came into the world, what reception did the world give him? He came to the world and the world did not know him. He even came to his own people, but his own nation did not receive him. We closed our eyes to the light of the world. We turned our backs on the light of the world. Here's the measure that John speaks about of darkness. We exchanged the truth of God for a lie. We did not see fit to acknowledge God, and so God gave us up to a debased mind. The light shone, and yet we closed our eyes and looked away. And we all have different ways of doing that, suppressing the light. Some of those ways can be apparently seem to be very clever, very sophisticated. One such person was a man whose name is a very big challenge to pronounce, Professor Budziszewski, I think. Budziszewski. A Nobel Prize winner. He says, the main reason I was a nihilist, someone who believed that life is meaningless, was sheer mulish pride. I didn't want God to be God. I wanted J. Budziszewski to be God. So he says, when some people flee from God, they rob and kill. Others do a lot of drugs and have a lot of sex. When I fled from God, I didn't do any of those things. My way of fleeing from God was to get stupid. I became an intellectual. And there are some forms of intellectual stupidity which appear to be highly intelligent. That's how I ended up doing a doctoral dissertation to prove that we make up the difference between good and evil. But I was a fool, he says. He was trying to flee from the light, and he ended up a fool. A professor, a Nobel Prize winner, but in darkness. Let me tell you about a man called Billy Bray. Billy Bray was a drunk, a loose living miner in Cornwall. As a drunk, he was getting fights and quarrels, and he was fighting all the time. But then at the age of 29, he trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ by the grace of God. He became a Christian. He went home, he told his wife, with the help of God, you will never see me drunk again. And she didn't ever see him drunk again. He became an evangelist to the miners, and many were converted through his preaching. A magnetic, powerful quality to his preaching. He's a great evangelist. But he knew all along that he had every reason to be thankful for the grace of God. And as a son of God, he called himself the young prince. And his favorite expression was, I am the son of a king. But he said, the Christian is royalty, not by natural birth, but by new birth. This is great news, wonderful news. This is how God intervenes in a person's life. God comes into the world in the person of his son, that those who are in the dark might become the sons and daughters of God. So we have in verses 12 to 13, finally, the family of God. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The light, the witness, the world, the family. How is it if the human heart is utterly dark? Spiritual darkness causes us to close our eyes to the light of the world. How can the light penetrate the darkness then? That anyone would believe and receive and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a great mystery considering the darkness of the heart. Well, verse 12 is one of these great mysteries of the Bible. How do spiritually dead people receive the gospel? How does a helpless sinner receive Jesus Christ? How is the darkness dispelled by the light? What happens? Verse 13. Because there are those who receive Jesus Christ and believe in his name and obtain adoption into the family of God. It's not because they're born of blood, nor by the will of the flesh, nor the will of man. It's not the result of the family you're born in or the country you're born in. It's not born of blood. It's not who your parents are. It's not the result even of natural desire, not the will of the flesh. It's not the ingenuity of human intellect. It's not the will of man. How is that a person in the dark can believe in and receive the Lord Jesus Christ? Because born of God, says John. Spiritual life from God. Spiritual life, you know, doesn't begin with faith. Spiritual life, new birth, results in faith. When you first came into the world, your first breath was not the cause of life. You were alive, and therefore you took your first breath. And that's what John is saying here. There is a great company all over the world this morning who believe in the name of Jesus Christ, who have been adopted into the family of God, sons and daughters of God. Where did they find the faith from to believe on Jesus Christ? How did they come to find the darkness dispelled by the saving light of Jesus Christ? They were born from above. Born again. Born of God. Someone who discovered that truth for herself was a woman by the name of Bessie Shipp. She was spending Christmas in an American prison and she was dying of AIDS. And she went along to a Christmas service before Christmas time in the jail. At the end of the service, she went up to the man leading the service and said she wanted to know and trust in Jesus Christ. Right there and then, she prayed. She asked for forgiveness and for Jesus Christ to enter into and take her life. So she gave her life freely to Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior and King. And she was transformed. She was released from prison. She went home a new person. She'd become a Christian. She was immediately drawn to a church and nurtured in the faith. She started attending the church Bible study. But just 3 weeks after she'd been released from prison, she contracted pneumonia. And in hospital, the minister of the church visited her. And struggling to speak, she said to him, "These have been the happiest days of my life. To know that Jesus loves me and that you do too." And 2 days later, she died. And she went to meet the Savior she trusted in. The Savior who had transformed her life, dispelled the darkness as the light in a Christmas service in a cold prison. And so this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the most pressing need for you is new life. You must be born again. You must have life from above. You must receive Jesus Christ, born of God. So I'm saying this morning, do you have this new birth? Are you a new creation in Christ? Only God can do that for you. You must cry to him. Ask him to make you his child. You must come and plead for Jesus Christ to enter in to the darkness. But the wonderful gospel means that no one who comes pleading before God like that is ever turned away. God is generous in his grace and mercy. It's the great message that John brings to us this morning. The grace of God in Jesus Christ. That you might receive him and know what it is to be adopted into the family of God. There's a book and a film around at the moment called The Dad Who Saved Christmas. The strapline under the title, "Can Nick, the man in the film, make faith, the lady in the film, can Nick make faith's Christmas wish come true?" But you see, it completely turns upside down the actual message of Christmas. It's not that we save Christmas. It's that Jesus Christ saves us. The Savior who came into the world at Christmas time saves us. Jesus saves us. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord Jesus comes to be your rescuer. He's born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. He is the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes and receives him shall not perish, but live forever with him in glory. So the Lord Jesus Christ breaks into lives with life-giving power, dispels the darkness, gives you the light of life. And I'm saying this morning, do you know anything of what I'm talking about? That you can say, "I have received him. I've trusted in him, believed upon him, Jesus Christ. And it was not because of the family I was born in or the country I was born in. It's not because of my cleverness or ingenuity. It's not even because of any natural desire in my heart, because the heart naturally loves darkness. God has done something. God has shone. The light of the light of Jesus Christ has shone in my heart, and I have new life from God. So if anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creation. Old things passed away. All things have become new. So let's turn to God now. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you this morning for Jesus Christ, this light of the world, the one we've been thinking about who brings light to our natural darkness. We praise you for him, this great Saviour. We pray that you'll help us to be witnesses to that Saviour and even to reflect something in our lives of that light which is his, the glory that is his. Christ-likeness amongst the people of God. Help us this Christmas time as witnesses for Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, for those who have never yet received him, trusted in him, believed upon him, that even today, crying out to God, they may know this wonder of new life from above, born of God, receiving Jesus Christ and finding in him the darkness is gone, the light has come. We thank you that we can turn to you this morning and ask, Lord, that you will hear us, knowing that as we turn to you, you are the God who does not turn away from us, but who receives sinful men and women who come pleading for grace and mercy through Jesus Christ. None is turned away empty-handed. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we sing as a closing hymn this morning, number 215. 215. We're going to sing it to the tune of O Little Town of Bethlehem. But it reminds us that there are those still in the darkness who say, no room, no room, no room. But Margaret Clarkson says in this hymn, but there is room at Calvary for sinners to abide, and all who come will find a home in Jesus crucified. So we stand to sing 215. Pray then. Lord, as we bring you our praise and thanks this morning for Jesus, the light of the world, we pray in our hearts for that light to shine. And we pray in this part of London and in this city and in this nation, in the nations of the world, O Lord, chase away the darkness. May the light of the gospel and Jesus Christ shine. And may many in these days to come find in Jesus Christ indeed the true light of life, new life, in Jesus the Saviour. And may grace, mercy, peace, from God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, rest and remain with each one of us, not only today, but even forevermore. Amen.